Welcome to the Radical Mother Village. If you're new here, a radical mother is a woman poised in her power, ready to disrupt cycles of generational trauma, running through her family like wildfire. She's working to improve her life, the lives of her children, and shape the landscape of her community. If that's you, you're in the right place. This podcast is designed to connect you with the resources, inspiration, and the reminder that you are not alone as you embark on your journey of radical mothering. In this show, you can look forward to conversations with fellow cycle breakers, experts in the field of trauma healing, and discussions on the foundational elements it takes to turn your goal of breaking cycles of trauma into a reality with topics like nervous system regulation work, reparenting, and releasing trauma that's held in your body. I'm your host, Krista Bevan, an expert companion for radical mothers, and I'm so excited you're here with me. Now, let's dive in. Hey, mamas, welcome back to another episode of the Radical Mother Village podcast. Today, we are covering a topic that has been requested more than once, especially in the Facebook group I facilitate. If you're not already a member, you can go find us on Facebook at the Radical Mother Village. If you type that in and search for it, it'll pop up and you can join us over there. It's a great group of like-minded mamas who are doing this work alongside you. But anyway, the point is, in there, I sometimes get asked questions that seem like they would be great podcast topics, and today's episode is covering one of those, which is, how do I navigate co-parenting a situation where I don't agree with my child's other parent? And it's a really great question because it's something that comes up so often, I think, for radical mothers, right? We have such strong ideas and ideals and values about how we should be raising our kids, and it's not something that our child's parent necessarily agrees with. So in today's episode, we're specifically addressing what to do when you are co-parenting in a situation where you are separated from your child's parent. Is there a better way to say that? I'm not sure, but I'm gonna keep going with that. You know what I mean? The other person, the other parent, right? When you are either divorced or separated, or you are maybe never married, or for whatever reason, you're not with them anymore. Now, that being said, all of the advice that my guest today is going to be giving you is still totally applicable, even if you are married to the person that you don't agree with on parenting ideas, right? So there's definitely something in here for everyone. My guest today is Nicole Lupashansky. She is a divorce and co-parenting coach supporting moms and dads to reduce the psychological and emotional effects of parental separation, even when the other parent is not on the same page, which is exactly what we are covering in the episode today. So without further ado, let's hop into the episode, How to Co-Parent in High Conflict Situations with More Peace, with special guest Nicole Lupashansky. All right, mamas, welcome back to another episode of the Radical Mother Village podcast. I am very excited to be talking with my friend Nicole Lupashansky. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. We are going to cover a topic that I have been asked about many, many times. And I kept saying, I would love to cover this, but I don't have experience with this subject. And when I find the right person, I will definitely snag them for an interview. And here you are. And that subject is, we're going to get into it, but we're going to be talking about co-parenting and what to do when you're a cycle breaker and you're in a co-parenting situation and all of that good stuff. But before we dive into that, the first question I like to ask folks is, what cycles are you breaking for yourself and also for your kids?
The cycles that I'm breaking are, number one, the generational patterns. That includes anywhere from how my family treated me and how I treat my children. I think that it's just automatic that we parent the way that our parents parented us. I really pride myself on changing that. I was raised predominantly by my father. That was very, very sweet, very strong, but also an aunt. My mother was an alcoholic, so my aunt took on that role. And she was kind of like this warden almost, because in her mind, she thought, I need to teach Nicole work ethic so she can provide for herself. But what she missed along the way was teaching me to love myself and accept myself for who I was and where I came from. And that where I came from wasn't a reflection of me being a bad person. And it wasn't a reflection of my parents being bad people. They were a product of their environment. And so the cycle, I think, then changes when I talk to my children about how I'm a product of my environment. This is what I'm doing to change that. And I ask them how they feel about that. I do interact with them and ask them, what can you tell me would be helpful so that I don't repeat that pattern? The other cycle that I'm breaking is codependency. Very, very interesting. I think a picture tells a thousand words. Even though I was raised by a father that treated me very respectfully with chivalry, opens the door, still does to this day, there's something in me that was still attracted to a man that didn't respect my boundaries, maybe didn't respect himself. And so it was abusive. And with that said, I've been able to use those examples to my children and say, okay, yes, you witnessed this abuse. Most of it was emotional. You see what's wrong. Let's make sure that we don't repeat that. Instead of trying to cover it up or shove it under the rug. I think a lot of times we think with children, well, if we just don't talk about it, it will go away. Well, it's not going to go away if we don't actually talk to them about it and say, yes, you're right. Mommy did accept that. And mommy did try to mitigate a lot of conversations to just get peace in the home. But mommy wasn't doing it because she didn't love herself. She was doing it because she thought she could actually achieve a different outcome. And then once mommy educated herself and went to seek help through a domestic violence counselor, she understood that it wasn't about her being able to control the whole situation, but it was about everybody that's in the family contributing, meaning both partners, husband and wife. And that is when I had to accept that, well, first of all, we did go to therapy because I do believe in trying. But once we went to therapy, it was black and white that that person wasn't going to change. And so then I had to say, I understand that you love living in a beautiful home. I understand that you love having the picture perfect life where everybody thinks you have a father and a mother and our life is put together. We're no longer going to live that life because we're going to move and we're going to live less than, and we're going to have a smaller place to live. And it may not be as nice right away, but we're going to have peace, connection, love. And so I'm teaching them, this is another thing that my family didn't teach me. My family has not a ton of money, but they have money. And they all would tell me, if you have money, that's all people care about, Nicole. If you pay people enough money, they will like you. And so I have told my children, that's wrong, because things are not what is important. I've had all the things. I grew up with diamonds and fur coats. I grew up in Las Vegas. I was very fortunate to be involved in a lot of great charitable events, but also was part of a fashion show, if you will. And so I teach my children, it's not the things, it's the relationship that you have, starting with yourself and then those who you care about the most.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. And I'm so with you in this idea that we need to include our children in what's going on. And I think for a lot of us, that's something that we didn't necessarily see with our own parents, right? The things were kept from us. And we know that kids are perceptive and you can't hide, you're not actually hiding things from them. And being able to admit that and embrace that and show them, look, I did this thing and it maybe wasn't the best choice. And I'm going to learn from that. And I'm going to grow from that. And these are the things that I value. And we're going to live from those things instead, I think is a hugely important gift that you can give your children.
I like that you touched on values. That's really important when you're speaking with your children.
Yeah.
When you can talk about your values, that's where you can talk about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
To and for your children.
Yeah, exactly. So Nicole, I want to get into the work that you do with moms and some of your own lived experience and how you help, because like I said at the beginning, this is a really common, unfortunately common situation that a lot of radical mothers find themselves in. So here they are, they have these values of breaking cycles. They know that they want to do things differently. They may or may not have ended up in a situation that was repeating those cycles, or for whatever reason, the partnership with their spouse didn't work out. Now they're faced with this co-parenting situation, or sometimes they're still married and they're just not on the same page as their partner. And they have these deeply held values about what they want to do differently. And that conflict that happens, not being in harmony with their co-parent, whether they're still married. Does co-parent work if you're still married? I mean, it doesn't. It only applies if you're not still together, right? So whatever the terminology is that I'm butchering here right now, but we'll just say bottom line, when you're not on the same page as the parent of your child, it can be really distressing and overwhelming and lead to a lot of feelings and can be a really tough spot to be in. So can you speak a little bit to what do you do?
So first I want to touch on the fact that I don't think I am this exceptionally knowledgeable individual about co-parenting when you're not on the same page in a marriage. I have done parenting coaching, and if you can get the parents to come together with a coach, which I do recommend only because the ego, one of the number one ways that the ego protects us, and this is per Jay Shetty, I'll give him the credit, is to say that the person close to us is wrong in their opinion, yet somebody that we don't know very well, they're probably right. It's just how the ego works. So you've got two people that are married, and one person, let's say, is raised where, well, if I said that to my mother, I would have got slapped to the floor. I would see stars. That would be unacceptable. And we would get beat for it. Got the other parent that says, well, we talked about our feelings. My parents talked about what I did wrong. They explained to me why it was wrong and what I needed to do to change. You've got two polar opposite situations. And one parent might argue, well, that's what's wrong with children in society today, is that they don't get a beating. Those kids need to get a beating. They need to have fear. And the other parent is saying, no, that's not the way that you manage it, right? But you have a professional come in and both of the parents are disarmed. Their ego tells them, oh, wait a minute, this person's safe. I don't know more detail as to why the ego does that. Check out Jay Shetty. Maybe he can tell you. But that is the case. And so that's where I would right now to your audience say, if you're really not on the same page with your spouse, but everything else in your life is wonderful and you get along well, right? And there's not abuse, then do seek that help. And you can try these things that we're going to speak about today. Try them out and see if they will work. I'm not an expert at knowing if they work because my clients are the ones that are in abusive situations that typically need to leave. I always encourage people trying to make it work. But there is a time and place when we understand that the abuse is not going to go away, and so they have to leave. So that's where my support comes in, is with the client that's leaving or the client that just left and needs that support, as well as the co-parenting in a high conflict situation where you're already gone, like it's been a while, but you still just can't get along. It's been years. How do we figure this out? And the term parallel parenting is going to be sometimes probably misplaced. Like, I don't know the word. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm trying to think of the word, but interchangeable. A lot of times people think that we are co-parenting, but we're parallel parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm not going to get into the details of which term matters. It doesn't matter. But what matters is how you go forward doing it. So if you'd like, I'll go ahead and start speaking to what my experience has been with myself and my clients.
Yeah, that would be great. And thank you too for making that distinction about, you know, when you're not on the same page, but you're still together and everything else is good. There's hope that you can get on that same page using outside help and professionals and coaches and therapists and that kind of thing. So I think that's a great point to make. And then, yes, let's switch gears into those situations where you are in a co-parenting or parallel parenting situation and what that looks like instead.
So I'll start off with myself. When I first started parenting, aka co-parenting, aka maybe what was parallel parenting, but I wasn't privy to that term yet, I knew going in that I always wanted my child, our child, to have the choice to decide who their parent was.
Mm-hmm.
You get one father, one mother biologically. It's not up to me to teach my child what their father is. One day my daughter said to me, "How come you never say anything about my dad?" And I said, "Because it's not for me to tell you my experiences with your father. It's for you to have your own experiences with your father. And you get to decide who your father is to you. Because who your father is to me is not the same person." And that is something that is very difficult for a mother that's, understandably, it's our job to protect innately. We think we have to protect our child from this. I'm not a good mother if I don't protect my child. I'm not doing my job if I don't do everything that I can through the court systems, through the schools, through discussing with my child so I can protect her or him. Subconsciously, we think that that's our job. Well, you're right to a degree, but make sure you do this. If it comes to a point where you need to give the child any information, age appropriate, but you make sure it's a fact and you don't talk about how you feel about it. You give the child the empowerment to decide how they feel about it. I think so many times when we're going through divorce or separation, we have so much emotion tied. We can't help it, both sides. And we think it's about us. It's not about us. It's about the decisions that we made and why we're in that position. So we can use the examples to teach the children. Here's one. My daughter came home to me and said, "Mommy, Daddy talks about you in front of me and I hate it." I said, "How does it make you feel?" And she started crying and she said, "Sad, Mommy." And I said, "Well, what do they say about me?" And she said, "They just say that they don't understand what world you live in. And I said, okay. If it makes you sad, do you think it's a good thing to talk about people? And she said, no. I said, okay. So let's make sure we don't talk about people, okay? I didn't make it about her dad. I made it about a lesson in life. And then I did still tell her, maybe that's a weakness that your dad has. Let's focus on the positive. Because I have to send her over to him and be able to sleep at night. So I have to teach her coping skills. I have to teach her how to look at somebody through the optics of, they probably mean well. They were raised a certain way, but I need to be wise enough to know what's wrong and right so that I can stand up for myself and have my own boundaries, because your parents are not the only ones that are going to treat you this way. You are going to have other interactions in life. So this may be very hard for the audience that's listening, because they may be thinking, how could I possibly... That's like making it okay what the parent is doing. And it's not making it okay. It's just letting the child know that you have to accept the other parent for who they are. So who is the first person that has to accept that parent if you want the child to accept that parent? Let's say me, right? I had to accept my ex-husband and say, why is he like this? He wasn't born onto this earth and decided to be this terrible person when it comes to who I am, right? His talking about me and his abuse. He had things happen to him that created this situation. Doesn't make it right, but it helps me understand. And so I can then forgive him. So there's two things that we have to do. The first is we have to forgive that person and know that they're doing the best that they can. Not because we want to make it right with them. We're forgiving them for ourselves, but more than anything for our child. And then once you can forgive that person, you can treat that person a little bit differently. You don't have the anxiety. You don't have the anger, because you don't think it's about you. You realize, okay, it's not about me. And it's really not even about my child that they're acting this way. This is about them. The other thing that we have to do is let go of the control, which is extremely hard. Do you want to live your life trying to control something that you can't? Like, what does that do when it comes to effective parenting? How does that help you as an effective parent trying to control something you can't? You know your kid is going to go to school one day and there are going to be drugs there. So are you going to teach your kid how to say no to drugs, or what drug can do to them if they try them? I hope so. Because if you just tell your child, don't do drugs, or you shelter them from it, or you just say drugs are really bad, but there's no other explanation, how does that support them? Is that effective? I don't think so. So effective co-parenting comes from one parent can change the whole dynamic of the situation if they teach their child how to deal with the situation, teach them to create their own boundaries, have these conversations without labeling the parent by saying the things that I did. How does this make you feel? How do you think that would make somebody else feel if they talked bad about their parents? Once you get them to start internalizing that, they then make their own decision that, oh, I don't really like what my dad's doing. But mommy's not telling me that my dad's wrong. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. It's completely a different dynamic. One thing if you can elaborate on this or touch on this more, is this idea of control, because, and I can speak for myself here, but part of this idea of breaking sex is I've got a huge mama bear part of me, right? And I know that that is not unique to me. I know that there are a lot of people listening
who really see it as their job to protect their kids. And often, and I've talked about this on the show before, that there can be an overcompensation of wanting to keep our kids sheltered from things and protect them from all forms of things that might hurt them because of the hurts that we have endured. And sometimes radical mothers do have a tendency to sort of overshoot the mark. And a lot of our work is about finding that sort of middle ground between disarming our own trauma from going forward onto them, but also allowing them to have their own lived experience. And it's really freaking hard. So how do you tell people who are like, how do you let go of that control? What are some of the first steps that you can take when those parts of yourself are super activated?
So one of the things that I teach is there's two things I can say here, but the first one is going to be understanding how you're showing up in the relationship. So I get it. What you just said, I'm a radical mom then, because I want to protect my daughter from everything. And she's almost 14 and I see her need of acceptance from boys. And that scares me, especially with the decisions that I made later in my life with my partners that I'm no longer with. But my point is, when you see how you're showing up, so if you're showing up fearful and thinking that you can control everything, like the simple question that I would say to you with all the love in the world is, Krista, what can you control?
Me, some days.
Well, you're married to a man that lets you control him, right? But let's not control him, but you're married to a man that respects and honors what you think about parenting.
He definitely honors my mother's intuition and lets me lead on things when he doesn't have an opinion on it. He will follow my lead.
And I feel like that is the most beautiful thing you can have. Now, in a co-parenting situation, you don't have that typically. But how are you showing up? Are you reacting to that other person's behaviors? Because if you are, that's continuing the cycle of tension, arguing, stress, high conflict. Where does that get you? What are the benefits of that?
There aren't.
What are the benefits to your child?
Less.
They're learning to grow up in this chaotic environment because both parents are chaotic.
Right.
Right? So once we see, okay, wait a minute, I'm being triggered. Why am I so triggered? Oh, me, Nicole, I was triggered from my ex-husband because I had abandonment issues. So when he would say to me, I'm going to take the baby and I'm going to do this, 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 and this with it, I don't care what you think. That put fear in me. Had I had a normal upbringing without abandonment issues from an alcoholic mother and other situations, I don't think I would have thought twice about it. I thought I probably just would have thought, oh yeah, she'll come back safe though, because I was always safe. So why wouldn't she be safe? I had to look within me and see what was wrong with me. Where did my healing need? Where did I need to be healed? What was it in me that needed to be healed? And so as I started peeling the onion back and realizing my need for control was because I didn't have control as a child. I was out of control. I had to do everything I could to make myself feel safe in those early stages of my life. And that then bled over into my relationship and my co-parenting relationship. So what I focused on was changing my behavior with my ex. When he would say something, first of all, I learned to stop introspection, pause, feel, process, heal. It's one of my pillars. Like, just stop. Don't react to him, because right now you're being triggered and you're emotionally going to respond. And what's that going to do? Cause him to be triggered. He's going to emotionally respond. So I would take up to 24 hours, because that is a co-parenting respectful way to respond, at least within 24 hours, to really think about, okay, why is this bothering me so bad? Does this really matter in the big scheme of things? I know I think it matters and it does to me, but does it really? And this takes practice, and you learn over time. It's just me trying to control. Yes, I know, Nicole, I know somebody right now is going, no, Nicole, I'm not trying to control. I'm trying to protect my child, and that's my job. But you only have so much control, and you can't, you had a child with somebody else. So accept that person until a court deems them unfit will be that child's role model, parent, caretaker, whatever that looks like. Now, of course, if there's significant abuse, please document that and please do your very best. I won't go into the system, but the U.S. system is definitely on the taxpayer's side. There's a book called Why Do They Protect the Taxpayers and Ignore the Accusers? So that is a real problem, even when it comes to child custody and co-parenting. But back to that co-parenting. Okay, so I'm going to take a breather. I'm going to think about, I don't like the way that made me feel. I'm going to work on processing that. But what's a thoughtful response back? What's going to work to get us to a solution? That is one of the things that my clients say to me all the time. Nicole, you are so solution-based. Well, why sit there and keep talking about each other back and forth, telling each other what's not working and how this is how I would do it, and this is how I would do it, and you're doing it wrong. Where does that get anybody? Where's the solution? So then you have to start thinking about the solution. Trying to keep it simple, but it can be kind of complicated at first.
Nicole, and I love what you said about that you really have to, you have to do your own work, right? You really need to take a look at how you're showing up in the relationship and what you're bringing to it, and doing the work that it takes on yourself so that you can find those pauses, so that you can have that self-control, so that you can have that emotional intelligence and emotional regulation, and that ability to release some of that control and trust that it's going to be okay. And it's not easy and it's not simple, and yet it can be done, right? And it takes a lot of effort, mindful effort, but it is something that, like you've been saying, you're demonstrating to your kids how they can show up in the world too. And they're watching that, and they're seeing that, and they're seeing how mom responded to this situation, and they're not dumb, and they're going to figure out that dad was bad mouthing mom and mom was not bad mouthing dad, et cetera. Right.
Children absorb what we say. Excuse me. Children absorb what we do, not what we say.
Right.
My children, almost 14 and 8, their conceptualization of like what is really going on in interactions with people is, to me, astounding. It's absolutely wonderful, but hard sometimes, because they know how to stand up for themselves, but they also know how to do it in a kind way. So yes, you are teaching your children those qualities that people need when you go into the work environment, when you go out into the real world. It's emotional intelligence. Definitely, it's so important, and it's so hard for us as parents, because it takes a while to see the effect of what we're doing, but they will. And you touched on a really good point. You don't need to tell your child who your parent, the other parent is, because they know.
Yeah.
1,000%. They know.
Well, and that's just it, is that I think we need to give our kids more credit than we sometimes do. And it's hard because we don't always see the payoff immediately. And it's another piece where we have to just trust that we have done the right job raising them, and that the things that they're seeing and witnessing, and that the values that we're instilling in them are actually rooting and taking place and letting them turn into these amazing individuals. But that takes an incredible amount of trust in yourself and in them, that that's what's happening, without always being able to see that it's paying off immediately.
One of my first books that I wrote when I was writing my ebook is Learning to Trust Yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So once you learn to trust yourself, you then learn to trust other situations, other people. And you can look at it like this. When you give someone the benefit of the doubt, sometimes they rise to the occasion. I would say more often than not. So if you really just try to focus on, okay, I know that that person can be a better person. I had a child with them for a reason. Mm-hmm. I know that they can. And if you start leading by example, you'd be surprised how many of the other parents do the same thing, not because they want to be a good person maybe, but because they want to be as good as you, if not better. They're competitive.
I was just going to say, let that competitiveness work to your advantage, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I think that it's about really, truly letting go and saying, it's all going to work out. I need to be that calm place for the child to come to. I need to be that emotionally safe place for that child to come to. And if I'm not emotionally stable and I'm using my emotions without logic, the child sees that. Who do they have to go to? Right. Where do they turn to when they're feeling like, I am so stressed out because of my mom and dad? I can tell you that either one of my children would come to me right now and say, Mom, don't do that when it comes to my relationship with their parent. Because I've taught them that their feelings matter. And tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Doesn't mean they always are right and that I'm always going to change, right?
Right.
But give them a voice and show them we create our own environment. What the other person does, we cannot control. And truly forgive them so that you can want the best for them. Because don't you want your child to be able to walk around with pride saying, I have two really great parents? Every child deserves that. I want that. I want to be able to look at my parents and say, yeah, my mom was an alcoholic, but because of her alcoholism, she taught me to be the person that I am today. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, my dad is this, but because of that, I'm good with this. Who wants to think that they came from this mess? I mean, I did come from a mess, and that's okay. But I also want to feel some pride that my parents were decent people. But I definitely don't want somebody else telling me that my parents are not decent enough for me.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, you've given us a lot to think about, and I appreciate it. If you could go back in time and give yourself a piece of advice as a younger mother, what would you tell her?
It makes me feel emotional when you say that, because I'm such a protective mother. People used to tell me I mother like a hawk. To let go a little bit and let your children be, not try to shelter them so much that they don't see the real world until they're actually out of the home. I do wish that I would have started doing that sooner with my oldest, really.
Yeah. It's a hard
again, thing to it's do. Letting go of the control. It's the same thing, right? Like, I think that I'm doing the best thing that I can for her.
Right.
But sometimes we just have to let them hurt, let them fall, let them make their own mistakes, so that when they do go out into that world where we can't be there as much as we can now, they have more experience with that.
Yeah. They know what to do to get themselves back up.
Yeah. They know how to handle situations with other people.
Yeah. I hear you. You're preaching to the choir on that one.
Well, you've got little ones, so.
Well, it's still something that comes up a lot. So.
But you have so much time ahead of you, so you're going to do awesome.
Well, thank you. Yes. And then the last thing, Nicole, is where can listeners connect with you and find more of your work?
So the best place to find me is on Facebook in a group, Raising Resilient Kids of Divorce. That is where you will get the most support. You can listen to my podcast, Two Homes, One Happy Childhood. Or you can go to NicoleLupashansky.com.
Perfect. Cool. And I will put all of those links in the show notes for everyone.
Great.
All right, Nicole. Well, thank you. I appreciate your time and your wisdom and sharing both of those with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, mamas, that wraps up another episode of the Radical Mother Village podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, will you do me a giant favor and share it with another mama who might love it too? You can also share it on social media and tag me. I'm on Instagram at the Radical Mother Village. And if you are looking to connect with fellow radical mothers who are also doing this work and understand the unique challenges that it can bring up in your parenting life, then I would love to invite you to the free Facebook group I facilitate, which is also called the Radical Mother Village. You can search for it on Facebook, or you can follow the link in the show notes to join us. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week.